Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
Before we get into the lesson for the morning, I want to announce a special series of meetings that will begin today, September the 24th, and continues through Friday night of this week, the 29th. The St. James Church of Christ in St. James is having a series of gospel meetings with Bruce Reeves from Conway, Arkansas, doing the preaching. Bruce will present lessons that will convict and encourage our hearts. This morning at 9:30, he will be speaking on the rock of our refuge. At 10:15, being passionate about purity. And at 5 o'clock this afternoon, the Lord never fails. And we will meet then at 7 o'clock each evening, Monday through Friday of this week. Come and be with us. Our building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James. Now for the Bible lesson this morning. I don't know anyone who does not want a happy home in which to live. None of us want to live in a home that is full of misery, sorrow, and turmoil. But what makes a happy home? Well, this is the question that we want to consider today on our program. Well, let me emphasize, first of all, that happiness in the home is an outgrowth of each in the home being what God would have them to be. You see, God ordained the home. God ordained the home for our good. He ordained marriage, and this is where He ordained children to be born and to be raised, a mother and a father raising children in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Surely then, God knows what is best for the home. And He has given instruction concerning how each in the home is to behave. If the husband and wife, the mother and father, parents and children, brothers and sisters all determine to do God's will, then they will enjoy a happy home, a home that is pleasing to God. And so our major purpose on the program today is to talk about what we can do to be pleasing to God in our homes. And when we do what pleases God, then we will have a happy home. Well, first of all, a happy home is a home that is dedicated to pleasing God. It is a home that is spiritually inclined. It is a home that emphasizes Bible study and worship to God. You know, under the law of Moses, God required the children of Israel to keep His law before them and their children. Look with me at Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. It says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." You know, the Lord requires no less of us today. He tells fathers in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Well, to do this, fathers must teach them the Word of God. The Word of God must be kept before them when they get up in the morning, when they're riding along in the car, when they go to bed at night. Let me ask you, do you provide for family devotional periods in your home? Times when the family get together to read God's Word, to talk about how important it is to obey God? Do you provide time for prayer and worship to God? I'm afraid that the cares and pleasures of this life take precedent and God is placed on the back burner. Consider with me this example in Scripture. In Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38, we read of a woman by the name of Martha welcoming Jesus into her house. The text says, "And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving." Now let me stop there. Now notice, Jesus is in Martha's home. Martha's sister, Mary, is sitting at Jesus' feet hearing Him teach. Martha is distracted with much serving. Now we don't know what she was doing. She may have been preparing a meal or maybe cleaning up after a meal. Whatever serving she was doing, it was nothing evil or immoral. It was nothing wrong in and of itself. You know, things didn't go well for Martha, though. Her sister was not helping her, and she became frustrated and expressed her frustration to the Lord. She said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Now, notice what Jesus said to Martha. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Jesus is saying to Martha that what Mary has chosen, sitting at his feet listening to his words, is what is needed. It is that good part which will not be taken away from her. You know, preparing meals, washing dishes, mowing yards, painting houses are not evil, and they need to be done, but may we never allow them to distract us from what Jesus here calls that which is needed, that good part which will not be taken away from us. Dear listener, provide time for Bible study in your home. Provide time for seeking God's will in your life and the life of your family. The biggest need in our nation today is not getting rid of the national debt or balancing the nation's budget or increasing our military power, but it is families committing themselves to learning and doing God's will. But then secondly, a home that pleases God, a happy home, is a home where love is. It is a home where the husband loves his wife and the wife loves her husband. It is a home where the parents love their children and the children love their parents. Paul tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It says in Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Paul tells the older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. Titus 2 and verse 4. Jesus gives the general command in Matthew 22 verse 39, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And this would include loving those of your family. But what does it mean to love another? You know, for some people to say, "I love you," means you do something for me, you give me pleasure. For others, "I love you" means I want to do something for you. Let me illustrate. You know, I love oranges, but I love oranges because of what oranges do for me. And after I have squeezed all I want out of that orange, I throw the peel away. You know, this is the same concept of love that many people have in the home. It's the concept that many people take as a basis for marriage and for their home. The husband loves his wife as long as she gives him pleasure. But when he has squeezed all the pleasure he can from that marriage, he then throws her away and goes after another. But the biblical love is a love that says, "I want to do something for you." It is not getting all you can from another person, but it is giving all you can. Love is not conditional on what the other person does for you, but rather it is a commitment of goodwill toward the other. It is making the decision to do what is in the best interest of the other, whether we feel like it or not. You know, this is the love that Jesus has for us, and he showed it by giving his life for us. John wrote in 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." When husbands and wives commit themselves one to another to love one another, to meet the needs of one another, to do what is in the best interest of the other, and when parents commit themselves to love their children, which means they are committed to doing what is in the best interest of the children, and therefore are willing to sacrifice careers and material possessions for what is best for their children, then you have a home that is pleasing to God and a home that is filled with joy. But then thirdly, A happy home is a home where proper discipline is administered. Paul instructs fathers in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Now the word training in this verse denotes the training of a child, including instruction, hence discipline, correction, chastening. That's taken from W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Bible Words. Now notice the word includes teaching. As we have already emphasized, children need to be instructed in the law of the Lord. But also this word training includes the idea of reproof, correction, and also the administering of punishment when children disobey. You know, our children need to be corrected when they do what is wrong. Eli had sons who were wicked. And one of the problems was that when his sons did evil, Eli did not restrain them. It says in 1 Samuel 3:13 that Eli's sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And God was not pleased. You know, there are times our children need to be restrained, reproved, and corrected. There are times that they need to be punished if they do not learn by instruction and verbal correction. The Bible teaches that corporal punishment is appropriate for the training of children. Look with me at a few passages. In Proverbs 13, verse 24, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Proverbs 22 and verse 15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." Also in Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beat him with the rod, he will not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from Sheol." Now these passages are not talking about physically abusing a child, but they are telling us that at times the administering of pain to the child is needed for the child to learn proper behavior. In other words, spankings are a part of loving discipline. You know, there are some who seem to have the idea that discipline that includes correction and corporal punishment is detrimental to a child. Their view is that successful parenting consists of two primary obligations. Number one, raise the child in an atmosphere of genuine affection. And number two, satisfy his material and physical needs. They believe that the child will then grow up with self-discipline, self-control, and respect for his fellow man. However, it doesn't work that way. Offering affection in the absence of instruction, correction, and discipline will not produce a child with self-discipline, but rather a spoiled brat who has contempt for his parents and for those in authority. James Dobson, a psychologist, tells of a psychologist conference in Los Angeles several years ago, and the keynote speaker said that some of the little terrors who were unmanageable in the school classroom were mistakenly believed to have emotional problems. But no deep emotional problems were found. Instead, it became obvious that the children had simply never been required to inhibit their behavior or restrict their impulses. And some of these children came from homes where affection was abundant. Well, loving discipline does involve showering our children with affection, but it also includes teaching, correction, restrictions, and punishment. When this kind of discipline is administered, then you have a home that provides stability and security for the children and that produces children with self-discipline and respect for authority. Well, today we have been looking at what makes a happy home. And the answer is, focus in on pleasing God in the home. Obedience to God is what will make a happy home. Disobedience is what produces misery and sorrow.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.